May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, members of this campus community, folks who have already been assigned vicarages, folks who are fixing to be assigned and placed in places of ministry as candidates, seminary graduates, families, members of congregations of our church body from throughout this land, members of the esteemed Council of Presidents, the 35 district presidents, 5 vice presidents, and the president of the Synod, the First Lady of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the First Lady of this institution, Dr. Winthy, faculty, staff, brothers and sisters in Christ, friends, Romans, and countrymen. On behalf of the entire Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I bring to you greetings on this very special day, special for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the groundbreaking for the new library, or as a former occupant of the office I now occupy used to say, library. The library, which will be a special place of research and reflection, of meditation and focus on preparation for the ministry to which those at this place will be called as pastors in the church, as deaconesses in congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Maybe I'll get in trouble for letting everybody know about this, but here's the deal. The groundbreaking is scheduled to take place outside today. And while there won't be any white smoke to signal to the contrary, if the decision is made by the powers that be to have the groundbreaking inside, somebody in the balcony is scheduled to hold a shovel in the air. So just hang in there and you can pray as you will about that matter. A special day also because we give thanks to God for what occurred last night, the assignment of vicarages, and what will occur this evening, the placement of seminary graduates in places of ministry throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A special time in the lives of people. And amidst some of the frivolity and joy which occurs on occasions like this, such as Vice President Diekemann's focus on fungibility last evening, and Professor Newfer's quick-witted reference to the brother who received a call to Martini Lutheran Church, but not in Manhattan, Kansas. These are very serious moments as people have spent significant amounts of time, money, energy, personal and family sacrifice in preparation for the ministries to which they now are being assigned, either temporarily as interns and vicars, or rather permanently as graduate pastors and deaconesses. So on behalf of the Council of Presidents, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and the entire Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I express my deep appreciation to you for your faithfulness and for your future service in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Today, as last evening, as folks are thinking about the places of ministry into which they will be sent, I offer this word of encouragement, and also on the basis of the scripture read a few moments ago in 1 John chapter 2, a word of warning. Many people in our world and in our country, and very sadly, on occasion, pastors and other ministers of the gospel also fall prey to the temptations mentioned in the text. The world is full of such temptations. To name a few, adultery, pornography, greed, materialism. In many respects, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who are entering the field of ministry, and those of us who have been in that ministry for no small amounts of time, are entering a hostile world. A world that does not automatically accept who we are and what we believe, teach, and confess, but in many cases absolutely denounces and decries that for which we stand. Let me share with you just a few examples of the kind of world in which ministry is done these days. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was reported on CNN that nearly 40% of babies born in the United States a couple of years ago, in the year 2007, for which I guess the most recent statistics were available, nearly 40% of babies born in the U.S. were born to unwed mothers. A more than 25% increase in that statistic from 5 years before. Recent surveys and news reports indicate that the sexting phenomenon of people using cell phones and computers to share sexually explicit photos and videos of themselves and of others continues to grow, especially popular among teens and young adults. Last month, a mother pleaded with parents and teens on NBC's Today Show to openly discuss this phenomenon of sexting and its potential consequences. For her 18-year-old daughter had committed suicide because the nude picture she had previously sent to her ex-boyfriend was shared with others, and she simply could not deal with the teasing and shame and embarrassment of that reality. Proliferation of acceptance of same-sex marriage, homosexual behavior, abortion, stem cell research, etc., 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 all describe and define a large portion of the world in which we live and the country and culture into which ministry will be introduced by those of you who are going out. I thank God that a bunch of years ago, the situations and circumstances which now exist in the country did not exist. And yet the reality is they do exist today. I further thank God for the willingness and courage of people, Christian people, sort of like, but not totally like, what my dear wife told me this morning after breakfast. She saw on television Miss California, who was asked a question in the Miss USA contest about her position or her thoughts or her feelings regarding the states of the union who have approved same-sex marriage. And when her response was something which did not approve of that reality, and her confession, her testimony, was one of faithfulness to God more important than acclimating herself and her positions to that of the culture in which we live. I thank God for her and for many other people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and are not ashamed to witness and testify, speaking the truth in love to that which we believe, teach, and confess. When Terry and I were first assigned to our vicarage in Charlotte, North Carolina, and subsequently assigned to our first parish in Biloxi, Mississippi, these issues were non-issues. We had other challenges which still exist today. For example, greed and materialism. Some believe that much of the current economic crisis is the result of greed and dishonest business practices by executives of corporations. Scams, schemes have become dominant news stories. Mr. Madoff made off with a lot of money from a lot of people. The teetering economy serves as a daily reminder of how greed can cause a culture to implode. The same is true of individual lives that become trapped in self-indulgent greed, not considering the welfare and well-being of others. The desires of one's sinful self can wreck and ruin an individual's life and family relationships. These are only a few examples, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You know many more examples of the very real problems in our world today. Lutheran Christians, including Lutheran pastors and deaconesses and other commissioned ministers of the gospel, are not automatically immune from such temptations and their impact on our daily lives. They are at every corner in the hands of none other than Satan himself, walking about, seeking someone to devour. Those temptations are real. They will come. The text, 1 John, reminds us the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. What is the will of God but to abide in his word? The word and the word made flesh, the one who is risen and ascended, the one who loves you and me and all the people of the world with an everlasting love, a love which took him to the cross, and a love which empowered him to leave the now empty tomb. It is that love in the Word made flesh that enables us to face, to withstand those temptations in which the world revels and gives us the power to speak the truth in that love to people in the church and in the world. The things of this world can cause us to go astray and to be overcome by the evil one. That is the warning John gives us in this text, written at a time when the very doctrine of Christology was under attack, a time not so different from today, when the message of Christ is being pushed aside by the desires of mankind. The warning is written to believers, little children, fathers, young men. They are strong because the Word of God abides in them. Their strength is not their own, but because of the Word of God within them. Do not love the world or the things of the world. The world refers to all that is opposed to Christ on earth, says one whose name is familiar to a few of us, R.C.H. Lenski. The things of the world refers to the individual deceptions, treasures, pleasures, honors, wealth, power. Whatever in its connection is hostile to Christ. Please note, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not forbidden to appreciate and even in a godly way to love that which God has created and put around us, which is good and right and wholesome: family, friends, nature, home, occupation, Christian vocation. Yet the problem is that our sinful nature is drawn to those things of this world. When we are drawn to those things and love those things, then the temptation is very real to keep out the Father's love from our lives. Because of our sin of love for the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You and I learned that passage in confirmation. It was not until years later that I learned the next passage. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Such is the Father's love for us and for mankind. It is through God's precious gifts of word and sacrament that we receive God's perfect love in Christ our Lord, restoring us to a right love of God. Many of you will soon be entering a ministry, the office of the pastoral ministry and the office of the deaconess ministry. Those are blessings of God to the church. And you will have the responsibility of reaching out and touching the lives of sinful human beings with the soothing ointment of God's love in Christ our Lord. We are truly blessed to be a blessing to others. We are blessed by God's word and God's sacrament, his gifts to us by his grace, without any merit or worthiness within us. Gifts of faith, not by what we do or deserve, as well-intentioned as those good works of ours might be. The reconciliation in love that we have received from God and that we are privileged to share with the world, we have received from God, who sent his Son to take away the sin of the world. That same love now constrains us to be those who love him in the world. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Please take note, not counting mankind's sins against them. And take further note, God has made us ambassadors of his reconciliation. As though God were making his appeal to the world through us. With feet of clay, faced by the challenges and temptations of the world, justified by his blood on the cross, sealed with the empty tomb. It is our privilege and pleasure to do so. Our responsibility and duty to be those ambassadors. And that work is accomplished, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in many places and in many ways. From making known the love of Christ by word and deed within our churches, communities, and the world in contexts which include people who have many things of this world, to the opposite extreme of reaching people in the world who live lives of abject poverty and absolute destitution. People whose lives I encountered a couple of weeks ago in the country of Guatemala, living in the dump outside the city of Quetzaltenango, scrounging and scavenging for every morsel of food they can find, every stitch of clothing they can wear, living, sleeping in the smoke and fires of Gehenna as those fires burn the combustible products in that city dump. Our lives are truly blessed, and our lives are blessed to be a blessing. The world is in need of Jesus, even as you and I are in need of Jesus, who said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." It is my prayer for you today that the Lord will protect you, even as I pray the same for myself and for my family, from the evil one, as we abide in this world, that he will put into each of us a right heart, not to love the things of this world, but to love him. In the words of St. John, do not love the world, love God in Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.